You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome in to the Locked On Pacers podcast. My name is Adam Friedman. As always, I am a staff writer at IndyCornrows.com and one of the co-hosts of the Locked On Pacers podcast. On today's show, I'm going to break down the two big men for the Pacers, Al Jefferson and Trevor Booker. As always, you can read all my stuff on IndyCornrows.com. I'm having a piece that will come out today, on Wednesday, which is on a Wednesday, about a possible Kevin Love trade, what that would look like. I had a piece come out on Tuesday about whether Nate McMillan would give an extension, more a matter of not if, but when Nate McMillan get an extension and kind of why he deserves one. Check those out as always. Check out my Monday pod with Tony East, where we discussed all things Pacers for the week. We broke down some free agency, some draft topics, and Nate McMillan stuff. We hit the whole shebang. But now let's get right to this Al Jefferson and Trevor Booker podcast. Because Al Jefferson and Trevor Booker really both played limited minutes this year for the Pacers in limited games. Jefferson, 36 games in one start. Booker, on the other hand, only played 17 games with the Pacers. That's not including the playoffs, where he played seven more games. I decided to put them together because there's really not enough on them to do separately and kind of to break down their player review. But there is enough to kind of put them together. And they're not, they're kind of similar players in the extent that they are both old men, essentially, of the team. Booker is 30 years old, and Al Jefferson is 33. And they both have sort of a slower, methodical play style. So the first one I'll talk about a little bit is Al Jefferson, who ended up playing 36 games for the Pacers at 13.4 minutes in those 36 games. He made one start. He averaged 7 points and four rebounds. Really, Jefferson could only stay on the court if he could score. That was sort of what kept him on the floor at times. He had a really good game in March against the Toronto Raptors, where he had 20 points. He had a really good game also against Philadelphia back in February, where he had 9 points and had that really awesome play where he faked out Joel Embiid and went to the rim. That was kind of cool. But overall, really, his impact was minimal on this team, and mainly he served as a Sabonis or Turner Hurt kind of backup center who got minutes based on who was hurt but couldn't play enough to really swing a game one way or the other, was sort of on a court to help reprieve whoever was not hurt between the Sabonis Turner in those games. I thought his offense was okay all year. I think he continues to be sort of slowed down and his, you know, outgrown, I guess, today's NBA, where really his play sort of doesn't fit nowadays. Jefferson can't really shoot the three. He's a poor long-range two shooter. He just doesn't have a lot of weapons offensively anymore now that he's sort of slowed down. And in the type of offense teams are running now, the more spread it out, he just doesn't fit anymore today's NBA. His $10 million per year contract, too, was a little bit of a albatross for the Pacers this season. He was probably the highest paid player per minute play. You know, you factor in salary and how many minutes the guys play, he probably got the most money from one of those guys. What makes him sort of valuable is the fact that his deal is an expiring contract with basically a non-guarantee. I believe it's $4 million guaranteed, but it's a $10 million deal, so you can sort of knock that down, which makes him kind of a valuable trade piece in any trade. We're trying to match salaries. Luckily, the Pacers pretty much have enough cap space where it won't really matter, but he has just enough cap space, depending on if Thad Young returns, where he could get you that max contract in a trade scenario, like for a guy like Kevin Love, who, if you read about any Cornrows piece tomorrow, we'll talk about that. Overall, though, he does provide a leadership that not a lot of other Pacers do, because he is the oldest guy on the Pacers team. He is the most experienced. He just provides some leadership for the centers, for Sabonis and Turner, a locker room presence, all that stuff. He sort of provides something where this team is relatively young. I mean, you think about it. Victor Oladipo's 26, his daughter just turned 26. Turner's 22, Sabonis 21. I mean, those kind of the top three guys, and you got like the Collisons and the Youngs and the Josephs. But this team doesn't really have sort of that veteran guy to keep them in place and just sort of be the locker room presence that I think Jefferson is for this team, and kind of the coaching presence almost at times for Miles Turner and Sabonis. I think he gives them a little bit of coaching at times, telling them what they can do better. Because Jefferson, for all his flaws nowadays, was at one point a really great center in this NBA. I mean, he was a guy who averaged 20-plus points a game for a couple seasons. He was putting up double-double season or close to it. This guy was really good and one of the best centers in the league. Obviously, probably not the best center ever because he ran into the Kevin Garnett's era, but was one of the best centers in the NBA at one point. So he does have something to teach to some of the younger guys. Unfortunately, his $10 million salary is not worth that teaching. I think Jefferson is worth a veteran's minimum to have on your team as kind of like a guy who, again, who can play 10, 15 minutes occasionally and can provide that leadership, or even have on the coaching staff later on. But he's not worth $10 million because for that $10 million, you would, like the Patriots have shown, you can get a guy like Darren Collison or Boy who can really, really contribute to this team and be part of rotation as you're making the playoffs and trying to win playoff games. Now, Trevor Booker, on the other hand, was a late addition signing. He was picked up on the waivers after he was released by Philadelphia, and then Booker had a choice. Basically, it was part of those when you get not cuts, not the right word. When you get a buyout and then you want to sign another team, that was what Booker did. He wasn't getting minutes with, he didn't like the direction that he was getting in Philadelphia. It seemed like Philadelphia was trying to go more stretch when they brought in Ilyan Ilyasova and they brought in Bellinelli. Those are just kind of, they looked like they were looking for more 3-point shooters and just were going the opposite way of the way Booker plays. So Booker limited minutes with them. So comes in the Pacers. He also gets kind of limited minutes, but he becomes sort of part of the rotation. He basically becomes part of the playoff rotation. He played an average of 9 minutes in the playoffs for the Pacers, averaging about 2.6 points. Again, his impact was limited both in the regular season and in the playoffs just because he was sort of, I thought, a hedge bet. He's the kind of player you got just in case somebody like Sabonis, somebody like Turner got hurt, or in case you needed to go big and play more of a traditional power forward than, you know, a lineup with, I mean, I think Thad Young is good out there, but it allows you to play Booker more traditionally. They played Booker in a lot of center spots, I thought, at times, just because he's an undersized power forward. He's only 6'8", so that's more undersized. That's more what Thad Young is. But he's not quite tough to play center, but he doesn't really have the three-point shot or the outside shooting to really, warrant him to be on the floor when you're trying to, like, play a stretch lineup. I thought at times the Cavs kind of ran him off the floor. But, you know, I think overall, like I said, his impact was minimal and somewhat noticeable, but not extremely noticeable. His best game probably in the Pacers uniform was either their loss to New Orleans where he was 5-8 and had 10 points, or their loss to Toronto where he had 11 points. Either one of those is probably his best point in a Pacers uniform. I don't expect either Trevor Booker or Al Jefferson to be back next year just because Al Jefferson's contract, obviously, he will be released or something like that. And Trevor Booker, just I don't see him coming back. He doesn't fit the way the Pacers want to go. Kevin Pritchard has emphasized and stressed that he wants to bring in a stretch four. So I think he'll eventually do that. So that's how I want to finish this podcast up, and that's with the Pacers looking at getting a stretch four. So Kevin Pritchard has emphasized, like I said, all offseason in his postseason presser, and it seems like last year getting that true traditional stretch four guy to play in this lineup with Oladipo, with his 5 3-point shooters, real 3-point shooters. And so Thad Young, was said on Monday that he's thinking about opting out and looking at his free agent options. So I would say he's doing that for a couple reasons. One, Thad Young's contract is pretty high. $13.7 million is the most per year he'll get in any contract. I mean, he won't get on the market anything close to $13.7 million per year. However, you could see at the age of 30, going to turn 31 soon, he might want to get a longer-term deal, looking for 3 years. I would guess 3 years between 27 and 35 would be the range I have Thad Young in my head. So the Pacers probably aren't willing to commit that because they look at it one of two ways. One, if he walks, they now have more money. They'll get that stretch four. Two, if he stays, it's fine. They get 1 year of him. He's probably still going to put the same numbers as the last season, but they don't have to risk long term. And eventually the Pacers either want to play Domantas Sabonis at the stretch four, so either turn Sabonis or Turner into that stretch four or go in and get one. And that's why I think the Pacers should seriously look at getting Kevin Love if the chips fall right and he becomes available. Now, I wrote right about this for today in Indy Corners. I've already posted. You'll be able to read it. The fact is that it's going to take LeBron leaving and the Cavs trying to get rid of cap space and rebuild to put Kevin Love on the market. But if Kevin Love is out there relatively on the cheap and they have the cap space with Thad Young gone, it might be worth it to go after Kevin Love just because he is a stretch four. He is a really good, you know, scorer, doesn't need another guy to help him out kind of thing. Can score on his own, which the Pacers need. And is sort of valuable. I understand that he might be blocking Sabonis some more, but he only has 1 year on his deal. If you bring in Kevin Love for 1 year and he stinks, you lose it 1 year, not a big deal. As long as you don't give up a ton of pieces, let's say you give up like an Al Jefferson and TJ Leaf maybe, but as long as you don't give up a ton of pieces for Kevin Love, a 1 year rental for him would probably be worth it because if he really does turn out to be like the Kevin Love it was in Minnesota or something like that, where Kevin Love is still really good, then you all of a sudden can kind of piece together this team of Sabonis, Turner, Love, Oladipo, and you kind of have a really good team. You have a really good deep, you have a deep, deep team when it comes to the center power forward positions, and then you have a really good guard, sort of build around those four guys, and that's sort of a team you have at least for a couple years. Kevin Love, I know, is almost 30 years old. I think he's 29 years old, but he's not so old where you don't expect him to be valuable. Obviously, if they get him for 1 year and they re-sign him, that's a whole other thing, but I think they should look into that as all. You know, I wouldn't really worry about it right now as much, but I think it's worth looking into because Kevin Love, I think, would fit this Pacer team actually better than Thad Young does, just because he is at least offensively, because he's more of a traditional stretch four three-point shooter, knockdown three-point shooter. You saw with LeBron, he has that ability, and Thad Young does not. As always, with Locked On Pacers podcast, you can follow us on Twitter at Locked On Pacers. You can follow me on Twitter at FriedmanAdam5. For my co-host, Tony East at TEastNBA. We have a Friday show coming up with Tony's going to break down TJ Leaf and Joe Young. As well as next week, we'll start breaking down the draft even more. We'll probably have a draft special coming out next Wednesday. And a complete breakdown of the draft picks on the following Friday. Look forward to those. That's all I got for today's Locked On Pacers podcast. As always, have a great rest of your day.